Do keep that passage open in front of you as we look again at the book of Romans, up to chapter 4. After a week's break from Romans, we're feeling refreshed. I feel refreshed. I wasn't even here last week. I hope you had fun while I was away. But we get to dive back into Romans for another good long stint. So let's pray and then get into it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look again at this passage, you would open our hearts and minds that we may understand and also believe your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many Christians who find the Old Testament to be a troubling testament. They see the Old Testament as showing a very different God when compared to the New Testament. The God of the New Testament is kind and loving, and the God of the Old Testament they see as being angry and violent. The God of the New is the God of grace, but the God of the Old is the God who requires people to keep the law. Salvation in the New Testament is by faith in Jesus, and in the Old Testament you're not actually quite sure what happens, how it works. How do you get saved before Jesus? And this isn't a new idea. It's something that was not invented in the 21st century. It's actually been around since the 2nd century in a chap called Marcion who had these kind of ideas. And it raises the question, is there a different way of salvation, Old Testament, compared to New Testament? Well, that's what today's passage is all about. So let's have a look at verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul here is very clear. He says salvation by faith in Jesus is not a new way of salvation. Can you turn me down a bit, brother? Let's try that again. Salvation by faith in Jesus is not a new way of salvation. In fact, it goes back to the founder of the Jewish race, Abraham. Abraham was the original Jew, and from his seed came every other Jew. And no Jew believed that Abraham was not saved. Of course he was saved. He's Abraham. He was that great one that God used to start the people of Israel. But the question that Paul then goes to is, how is he saved? Well, at the end of the verse 3, you notice there's a quote. Can you see the, you can look on the screen, you can see that there's a these things. If you have a Bible open in front of you, you'll notice there's a little letter after these things. And that little letter in my Bible is an I. And if I look at my Bible and I go to the bottom of the page and look for the little I, little letter called I, it could be an A or a B in yours, it tells me that it was a quote from Genesis 15. So Paul here is quoting Genesis 15. And that part of the Old Testament says clearly that Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That is, he's declared right with God, not by doing good works or keeping the law. He's declared righteous, right with God, by his faith, by his trust in the promises of God. Righteousness from God, that is by faith. Now, Abraham's faith is different from our faith in the sense that he did not yet know, because he hadn't been revealed yet, about Jesus or his atoning death. He had a promise and he believed that promise, but he didn't know how it would be fulfilled. And of course, now we know, because we're this side of Jesus, that it was fulfilled in Jesus. And Abraham is not the only person in this situation. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it talks about Abraham and many Old Testament believers. Lots and lots and lots of them who believed in what was promised that was then fulfilled in Jesus. If you've ever wondered about how Old Testament people were saved, well, they were saved pre-Jesus the same way that we are. And that is by trusting in Jesus. The only difference is they trusted in the promise, which is a bit like seeing a silhouette. You can see a silhouette ahead of someone, and then they come into focus, or they turn the corner and you can see them. In the same way, they are still trusting in the same thing. It's the same way of salvation. Now, one of the things I've got to do over the last few decades is live in some pretty dry places. Okay, been through a lot of drought. And so I love it when it rains. Last weekend was awesome because it rained all weekend. At least it did where I was. And not buckets of rain, just nice sprinkly rain. And, you know, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I just like going out in the rain and just feeling a little bit of the rain, feeling that H2O landing on me because it's so precious. But, you know, sometimes, and this is even more rarely than when it rains, I go to the snow and, you know, make snowmen. But there the H2O is different, I've noticed. And I've noticed that not only is it colder, it's also harder, which when I fall, I really feel. Or when someone throws a snowball at me, I really feel. So, different. But then, after mucking around in the snow for a bit, I jump back in the car and I turn on the heater, and what happens? The windscreen just goes white, doesn't it? Until the heater eventually and the air conditioner working together gets rid of it. But what you see there is the H2O changed form again. And it looks different again. It becomes a gas. But whether it's rain or snow or a gas, it's still the same stuff. It's still H2O. And friends, it's the same kind of thing happening here with righteousness by faith. In both the Old and New Testament, it looks different because in the Old Testament, they're believing in the promise that is fulfilled in Jesus, and we believe directly, if you like, in Jesus. But it's the same in its essence, same way of salvation, by faith in Jesus. Now, at this point, if you were in the first century, you'd have been asking, what about circumcision? Because that was a big issue back then. Do we have to be circumcised like Old Testament believers? Is this something that has stayed the same between old and new? Is that a requirement in addition to faith in Jesus? Well, Paul goes and answers that question in verse 9. Have a look at verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. So Paul here points out that Abraham was saved by faith before he was circumcised. And the timing is the all-important thing here in these couple of verses. God declares him righteous before he asks him to be circumcised. The timing is all-important. For if Abraham was declared righteous after he was circumcised, then you might be able to make a statement to say, oh, well, that played a part in him being saved. But because it was before he was circumcised, then his circumcision doesn't contribute to his salvation at all. It can't, because he's saved before he gets circumcised. And therefore we can know, according to Paul's logic here, that circumcision is not required for anyone to be declared righteous. What is required is what Abraham had. faith in Jesus. If you want to think of it a bit more whimsically, you might want to think about watching a World Cup of football. One of the things you notice in the World Cup of football is that often a team has a pretty fancy celebration for when they score a goal. You ever notice that? In fact, you sometimes think that they've put more effort into planning the celebration than in scoring the goal. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but typically the celebration of the goal comes after the goal, not before. Timing's all important. You'd look pretty silly if you were celebrating the goal before the ball crossed the line and, oh, it didn't. And sometimes people have started celebrating a little bit too soon, and you know what I mean. Now, don't get me wrong, celebrating a goal is a fun thing to do, and sometimes it's quite entertaining and it's great for the fans. But it doesn't help you score the goal in the first place. It's not actually a requirement. In fact, you can score a bucket load of goals and not celebrate at all, and that's perfectly okay. In the same way, circumcision came after being declared righteous for Abraham. And so therefore we know it's not necessary. It becomes a matter of choice. Friends, that also, the corollary of that for us in the 21st century is also that baptism does not come before salvation, before faith in Jesus. Baptism is not the thing that saves us. Faith in Jesus saves us. So let me encourage you to, if you're trusting in either circumcision or baptism, to stop trusting in those things as a way of salvation. They have their place. But to trust in Jesus. That is the way of salvation. For when we trust in Jesus, we are the same as Abraham. And as we see, that has implications for our family. What are you talking about? Well, have a look at verse 11. You'll see what I'm talking about. Verse 11. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had when he was circumcised. Now, because Abraham believed, he becomes the father of Gentile Christians as well as Jewish ones. You can see people are celebrating. You can hear it, can't you? Oh, what an amazing thing. Everyone knows that the Jews are descended from Abraham. He's the father of their people genetically, if you like, ethnically, if you like. But Abraham is the father in another sense. He is the father of faith. Paul credits him with being the founder of faith, although there were others who believed before Abraham. It's a bit like saying Adam Smith is the father of economics, or Oliver Cromwell is the father of religious freedom, or Bill Gates is the father of computer nerds. Abraham is the father of all those who have faith in Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile, ancient or modern. And that means that Abraham is our father too, if we have faith in Jesus. We are all sons and daughters of Abraham if we have faith in Jesus. And I think we sang a song about that recently. Involved a lot of actions, most of which I got wrong. Hope you did better than I did. But, yeah, Father Abraham has many kids. We sang that song. Why does he have many kids? Because of faith in Jesus. This song is not just a fun song, it's a true song. And it's an important truth. For Abraham is our founding father, the father of faith. And so we can sing the song and go, yes, not only did I get the actions almost right, it's true. And it's true for me because I have faith in Jesus. So it affects our family. There you go. You might not have realized you're part of that family, but you are if you have faith in Jesus. And if we want to see how good and great Abraham's faith is, we get a huge chunk that comes next that speaks of Abraham's faith and how amazing it is. Have a look at verse 18 and you'll see what I mean. Verse 18 and following. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham, we're told here in this reasonably long section, has lots of faith, huge faith. God promised him that he would have numerous descendants. And this is despite the fact that he and his wife were well past childbearing age. Okay, verse 19 tells us that Sarah's womb was dead. And so therefore, it was medically impossible. And yet Abraham believed God because he reasoned that God could do the impossible, that it wasn't impossible for God. He believed that God could bring Sarah's dead womb back to life again. That is humongous faith, isn't it? And yet, it is no more remarkable than believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. Because that also, if you might have noticed, is medically impossible, isn't it? That's also completely outside normal human power. You see, Paul's mention of our faith in Jesus' resurrection in verse 24 of this passage. And you notice that both faiths are about bringing back something from dead to life again. Sarah's womb, Jesus' body. It's another link between our faith and Abraham's faith. And what Paul is driving home yet again is that it's the same faith. The same faith in the God who does that which is impossible. Our faith, Paul wants us to know, is the same as Abraham's faith. And therefore, you have humongous faith too, if you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because just like Abraham's womb, that too was medically impossible. Well, friends, the verdict is in. And the verdict is clear. We have seen how Old Testament people are saved. And they are saved in the same way that we are saved. And that is through faith in Jesus. The same God who wrote the New Testament wrote the Old Testament. He has always been the God of grace, and he's always offered the same way of salvation, through faith. And it's the same deal under both covenants. God credits those who have, God credits righteousness, that is, he declares them right, when they have faith in Jesus. It is faith that saves. And I should say, it is faith alone that saves. No other work that we might do, whether it's a religious act like circumcision or baptism, adds anything to our salvation. Or none of our good deeds that we might do add anything to our salvation. Our salvation is a work of God. We've been seeing again and again through the book of Romans this righteousness that is of God, not of us. And that is by faith in Jesus and not by works. And so, friends, if you have faith in Jesus, then you are right with God. And you will enter heaven. Circumcision didn't save Abraham. Keeping the law didn't save Abraham. And nor does anything else save us. It is faith alone that saves us. So, friends, if you're listening online this morning or if you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, I thought I was saved because of... And you can fill in anything there other than faith in Jesus. And if that's you, then let me encourage you to stop trusting whatever that thing is. Whether it's your own good works or some religious act like circumcision, don't trust those things. Trust instead what Jesus did for you on the cross. Trust instead his resurrection that vindicates him and proves that that death really did pay for sin. Trust instead in Jesus alone. And if you're not sure how to do that, then grab me at this amazing thing called morning tea. Give me a coffee. I'll perform better with that. And say to me, hey, Paul, I want to know more about this salvation by faith in Jesus thing. And we'll grab a Bible and we'll talk over a cuppa. And I'd be delighted to talk to you about it and show you about faith in Jesus. But if you're sitting here this morning and saying, well, I believed in Jesus a long time ago, at least last week, then, friend, let me say to you, continue in the faith that has saved you. Don't drift away to thinking something else is going to, take you further in the faith. It's faith that saves you, and continue in that faith. For that faith that you have is not a new invention. It goes all the way back to our father Abraham, our distant forefather. It has always been God's way of salvation to be saved by trusting in Jesus. So keep trusting in Jesus and never move away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that in your great mercy, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, fulfilling the promises that you made to Abraham and in which he trusted and was saved. Thank you that our father, Abraham, is saved the same way as we are. And indeed, every Old Testament believer is saved because they believe in the promises fulfilled in Jesus. And we pray that we who, this side of Jesus, can see things clearly would always trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. May we never trust in circumcision or baptism or any good deed we do or any religious act, but rather may we trust in Jesus and Jesus alone forever. Amen.